Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for today will be taken from both our gospel reading, Mark 13, and our epistle reading in Jude. We are a tired people. Maybe even as you came here today, you were saying, you know, I'm just feeling a little bit tired, especially after all the festivities of Thanksgiving. And the problem is that we tend to work pretty hard. We stay up too late doing stuff, and then we try to get up early the next morning to do it all again in the very next day. And it's not just you, is it? You greet others, and you say to them, how are you doing? And how many times have they responded to you, you know, I'm just really kind of tired. And it's somewhat epidemic, isn't it? And you know, it's not just perception either. The statistics seem to bear it out. And it says that the average American gets 6.8 hours of sleep a night, which is less than the recommended 7 to 9 hours of sleep. And you combine that with other statistics that say that 60% of Americans have a problem getting to sleep at night. And it all adds up to tired people. And if that's the case for you, then maybe when you came today, you weren't too excited about hearing Jesus' message to stay awake. But instead, you maybe would have rather have heard something like, come to me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But in the Christian life, you know that there's times for both, right? There is time for resting, and there is also then the time to be awake. And as we come to the end of the church year, as we are today, that's the message that Jesus has for the church. As you're waiting for him to return, he calls us to be awake. So we go to our gospel reading in Mark 13, and that whole chapter is about the end times. And last week we took a look at the first half of that. And you remember Jesus was talking about the general signs of the end times, that period from when Jesus ascended to heaven to when he's coming back again. And how did he characterize that time? He said, well, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be earthquakes and famines, and there will be persecution. But Jesus also said, understand that when you see those things, it doesn't mean that the end is right there, because those are just the beginning of the birth pains. So in other words, what's going to happen as this world goes along, it's not going to get better and better, but quite the opposite, is going to get worse. It will be more intense as the end comes. Then we come to our gospel reading for today, and Jesus shifts a little bit. He kind of moves to the end of the end times, and he talks about what it's going to be like when he comes again. And he talks about the angels coming and the gathering together of the people to be taken with him into eternal life. But even as he does that, then he says to us, you don't know the time. You don't know the day and the hour. You can know basically the seasons, but not the day and the hour. And so he says, learn the lesson of the fig tree. He says, you look at the trees in nature, and you know what season it is. You watch them, and you know when it's spring, and you know when summer's coming, and you know when fall is coming, you know when winter. You can tell. You can read the signs. It says the same thing with his return. You can understand some things about the movement of history towards its end, and you can get a sense of what's going on. You can't know the exact hour, the day, so don't try to figure that out. Just forget about that. But you can know some things about the progress of history. And then comes this short parable that Jesus tells that helps us to understand how it is that we can handle living in this time as we're waiting. What are some of the things that we can do? And I know you didn't miss the message of this parable, because it's more than clear. In 5 verses, 4 times Jesus tells us to stay awake. And that's the whole point. So let me just read that again for you. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or when the cock crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Pretty clear, right? The characteristic of God's people as they're waiting for his return is to stay awake. And maybe you're saying, yeah, but I'm tired. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I want to take that up. Sounds like a lot of work to me. But it's probably not as hard as you think. First of all, because it's a metaphor, okay? It's not talking about physical sleep, right? It's talking about being spiritually awake and spiritually alert. So there's nothing in here about you're going to be getting less sleep, right? The second thing then is, as you take a look at the parable, just looking at the people in the parable helps us to understand exactly what Jesus is talking about. So you think about the servants in verse 34. It says, it is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. So what about these servants? Well, each of them is given a task to do. And it's probably pretty much what they've been doing all along. But you see, it's not this idea of the heaping on of a bunch of extra things that you got to do. No, basically, it just says that the servants in the household are to be faithful in the things that have been given them to do. They don't have to stay up longer. It doesn't take them longer to do it. It's just being faithful. And so it is with us. That as we are waiting for Jesus to return, the big thing is just being faithful in the things that have been given to you to do in life, in your calling in life, your vocations. You know, whatever that may be. Part of being ready for Jesus' coming is just to do those things faithfully. And then, of course, there's the doorkeeper. You know, stay awake. Be watchful. Again, it's probably not that there are added shifts or anything. You know, the watchman is not expected to be there 24 hours a day. You know, they do their shift 3-4 hours, and somebody else comes and takes their place. But to be faithful in the duties that you have at that time, for that time, is very, very important. And that's what God is calling us towards as we wait for Jesus to return again. And notice the corporate nature of this, too. This is a really important part of it, our waiting. It's done corporately, not individually. You know, so yes, in this household, individuals have their responsibilities that they are called to do. But they don't do them in isolation from everybody else. No, they're a part of the household. And so they do one thing and somebody else does another thing and they connect with one another. And they're really doing things together. And it's only when they all do it together then that the household is really ready for when the master is going to return. And so the parable is teaching us about our waiting and our being ready for the Lord's coming to do that corporately. It's not just you going off somewhere and doing something by yourself and making sure you're ready. No, this is done together in the household, the family of God. And together we prepare, and together we help keep one another ready for his return. So, okay, that's what being awake is. But let's explore a little bit more what it looks like. And this is where Jude helps us a little bit. Jude shows us some of the steps, some of the exact things that we can do in order to be ready and be awake. Again, he's going to talk corporately so that the things that we do, well, there's two things. One, things that you do for yourself, and then things that you do for others. But these are all done corporately as well. what you do for yourself is done within the context of the church, of the family of God. And what you do for others is within the context of the church as well. And so let's start with those things that Jude says that you can do for yourself. How do we stay awake? As you read this, it's a little bit hard to tell in the English, but in the Greek, what you find out is that there is one imperative. It looks like there's a bunch of them in there as you read it, but really there's one imperative, and that is the word keep. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's the main thing. Now, notice it doesn't say keep on loving God. That's something different. This is keep yourself in the love of God. So kind of like under the umbrella, within. And what is this? Well, Jude, when he's writing, he says, beloved. What does it mean to be beloved? Is that Jude's love for those he's writing to? Well, I'm sure that's true. But it's really a reference to something much bigger than that. When he talks about them being beloved, he means of God. You who are beloved of God. And that reminds us then of what? Our baptism. Because it's in our baptism that God has brought us into his love. That he forgives and he brings us into his family. A part of who he is, and his love covers us then. And so when Jude is talking about keeping yourselves in the love of God, he is really talking about remembering this love of God that is given to us in Jesus Christ, the grace and the mercy of God for us. Okay, and so then there are three participles that go along with that one imperative. So these are the things that we can do in order to stay in this love of God. And the first of them is to build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Again, what does that mean? Well, it's not talking about faith in the subjective sense. In other words, you're believing. You know, build yourself up in your believing. You know, believe better. No, that's not what he's... Build yourselves up in your or the most holy faith. What he's talking about is the objective sense of this. The faith. And what is the faith? That is the gifts of God that he has given to you. The doctrines. The word of God. Really, the word and the sacraments. That's what it's talking about. So when he says, build yourselves up in the holy faith, he means use the word and the sacraments, the gifts that God has given to you. And this is the way that you stay strong in the faith. This is the way that you stay within the love of God. And again, notice the corporate nature of this. You know, it's done within the church. The second thing then, in addition to building yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Again, we're seeing the places where God's power is, the work, the power of the Holy Spirit at work through the Word and the sacraments. And you think about praying. What would praying without the Holy Spirit be? Okay. It says pray in the Holy Spirit, so what's praying not in the Holy Spirit? Well, that's therapeutic, right? You know, you see all these articles about the value of prayer, and it's really not necessarily done in faith. They're just talking about praying or meditating. Well, sure, those things are valuable. They're therapeutic, but that's not what we're talking about here. When we're talking about praying in the Holy Spirit as he uses the word and the sacraments, we're talking about the power of God being brought to bear in our lives. So that's the second thing. And the third is then expectantly waiting. And this is probably where our subjective faith, our believing, comes into play. Because that's really what waiting is all about, right? What is waiting? It involves a promise. Hoping and looking for that promise to be fulfilled. And that has to do with trust, and it has to do with believing. So that too is a part of what it means to stay awake. That's what we do for ourselves. And then Jude also talks about doing for others. And you know, you can't keep yourself in the love of God without loving others, right? That just doesn't make any sense. So part of this waiting, staying awake, is also caring for one another's. That I care for you, you care for me, you care for one another. That we're looking out for one another. If somebody's struggling or having difficulties, we're there for them to help encourage them. If somebody falls into sin, we're there to talk them through it, to help them come to that place of confession, receiving God's mercy and grace. Yeah, even for those who are outside, just snatch some out of the fire. You know, that would be those people who are, you know, heading towards the fires of hell. Snatch them out. You know, but he said, be careful when you do that, because you're walking on dangerous ground there, right? Be careful that you don't fall into what they're doing as well. So there's also attention towards others. All of these things go into how we live as we wait for Jesus to return and what it means to stay awake. So on this last Sunday of the church year, it's important for us to hear the message from Jesus to stay awake, but to recognize that's not just for today, but it is something throughout the whole church year. It's a posture that we as God's people have as we celebrate what he's done for us in the past. We're just going to do that again starting next week. We're going to tell the story all over again as we do that and as we wait for his coming. That we stay awake, that we keep ourselves in this love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.